Good morning, everybody. Welcome to church. It's so nice to be together as the body of Christ, even from the comfort of our own homes. This is a particularly strange Sunday for me. Personally, it's one of the first big losses I have felt in this pandemic season. Because even though we're stuck at home and not meeting together, this is kind of the first Sunday I felt a big loss. And that's because today at Harbor was scheduled to be the HSM takeover. This was going to be the day that the teenagers took over the church, and the students were going to lead worship and run slides and serve communion and do every part of service that they would not have been a part of otherwise. And so today I'm feeling that loss, that since we're at church at home, we're not able to integrate the teenagers into service the same way that we would have wanted to. But the good news is that in this type of service, this Zoom service that we get to be together, we get to integrate all generations together. So today, worshiping with us, we have kids, we have teenagers, we have adults all together worshiping God. And so I'm so thankful to be part of this team, this part of this church that we get to worship intergenerationally. So I want to shout out all the teens that are here today and all the kids that are here today. And I'm thankful that you are here watching with us. I'm thankful for the families that are together worshiping alongside of us. And so we're worshiping together this morning with everybody in the church, one whole body. And one way that we like to worship here is by participating in a practice called communion. And so I'm going to pass this off to Kelly, and we can have communion together.
Beautiful thing to celebrate, having all of us here today. I don't know if you've been able to notice at the bottom, there's over 100 of us here. Some of us are sharing a camera with two or three or four. And that's because right now we are one family. God is our good, good Father, and we are here together as brothers and sisters. And so we get a chance now to take a moment and have a family meal. That's what communion is. So if you didn't see the slide and you have the ability to just run to the kitchen, I'll tell you today, my communion is going to be a corn chip and some water. And so it is okay if you don't have matzo bread and grape juice. Whatever you have is exactly right for today. And so I just want to talk a minute about why do we take this family meal every week together? It's because Jesus did. You know, the last week of his life, that night called Passover, where he and his family, his nation would celebrate this amazing miracle that God did of saving the people. They would celebrate every single year on this night called Passover. And he was there days before he died and rose again, sitting around the table with his friends. They were his family, just like you look around now, and this is our family. And so I'm going to read from the book of Luke chapter 22. And in verse 14, we see Jesus and his friends sitting around the table, and he's telling them, I'm not going to eat this meal with you again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. But he took his wine. And remember, they would share one cup of wine. They would just share that one cup. And he brought it, and he gave thanks to God for it. And he said that we could, as we drink it, we could share it and drink it and remember what he was about to do. And so that's what we're going to do today. In a moment, we're going to take communion together. And so I want to read Luke chapter 22, verse 19 with you. And as I read these two verses, you can just hold on to whatever it is that you're going to use as bread, and you can hold on to whatever it is you're going to drink. And then we're going to hear a beautiful song together, and we'll be able to take communion as one family. So Luke chapter 22:19 says, Jesus took bread, he gave thanks to God for it, and he broke it in pieces. And so if you're sitting there around your family today, this might be a beautiful thing for you to just share it, break it in half and share it. And he gave it to his disciples, and he said, this is my body, and I'm giving it for you. And the next time you eat it, do it in remembrance of me. So that's what we're going to do in a moment. We're going to remember what Jesus did for us by eating the bread. And then he took the wine, and he said, this cup, it's a new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed by my blood, and it's poured out for you. So when you take the bread and you drink from the cup, take a moment and remember what Jesus did for us. And if you, again, don't feel comfortable doing that, you're still invited during this moment to just take a breath in. I think this song is so important right now for us to realize how powerful it is to just pause and know that the air that we're breathing is a gift from God. So will you join me now in taking communion? Take the bread and remember what Jesus did for us.
Mm-hmm. Father, we just thank you so much for this moment that we get to be together as a family, as brothers and sisters in Christ, all in our own homes, all worshiping, all gathering, and all together by the Spirit of God. Father, I just pray a blessing over this morning. I pray a blessing over this time that we get to take out of our schedules, out of our weekly chaos, and just take a moment to breathe. Take a moment to just be present here in this time, a moment to look around at all the other faces in this space and be encouraged that we are never, ever alone. So Father, this time is for you. This time is all about you. And I pray that your name would be glorified as we gather today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Allie. And thanks, everybody, for being here. Good morning. This is our third week meeting virtually instead of in person. And I don't know about you, but I kind of don't like the fact that I'm starting to get used to it. I'm starting to get used to a lot of things, which is a very weird feeling to feel. Maybe you know what I mean. I'm getting used to living with less. I'm getting used to living with less to do, less places to go. We in our family, we have this like family command center in our kitchen, this big old calendar where we put all of our social gatherings and evening meetings and everything so that we're all on the same page. And yesterday, I erased March and I wrote in April. And when I did, I said in sort of a cheeky way to my husband, Chuck, I said, I'm erasing the last plans we've had and will have for the foreseeable future. So say goodbye. And there it went. There went March. The only thing on our calendar for April is birthdays and Easter, but not in the way that our parties and gatherings with people that we love. And as I was doing this, though, he said to me, kind of took a deep breath, and he said, yeah, but Amy, there's still so much. Life is all still so full. I married a wise man because this is true. Our calendar, which is usually full of social plans and evening meetings for work and kids' activities, is almost entirely bare, but our life is still abundantly full. There's a famous Christian quote that some of you may have heard before, maybe not, but it's by Saint Irenaeus, who is a Greek bishop from what is now modern-day Turkey, who was born about 100 years after Jesus' life and death. And this famous quote reads, "The glory of God is man fully alive." Maybe you've heard it, maybe not, but regardless, this is actually a misquote. People say that this is what he said all the time and have for years, but the actual text that he wrote thousands of years ago is, "For the glory of God is a living human being, and the life of the human consists in beholding God." There are two words here that I want to focus on for the rest of this message time this morning, and one of them is actually located in the misquote, but it's still so important, and it's this word, fully. And then the second word I want to focus in on is in the actual translation, and it's the word beholding. So let's start with fully. While it is true that my entire family was at home all week, we still had a hard time finding time to do the dishes. Did any of you have that experience too? Our life still feels like it is full in lots of ways. But that fullness is not what Saint Irenaeus was referring to. And it isn't what we mean here at Harbor when we talk about living fully. See, our vision for how we're supposed to be and become a people who help people find their way back to God, our mission, is by living fully, loving deeply, and giving freely. But these things, these actions, these way to live don't let up when we're stuck at home. They don't let up when we're in the midst of a pandemic or when we're on the brink of losing everything that we've ever known. No, this vision to live fully, love deeply, and give freely rises to the occasion in times like this, Harbor. Times like this are when we get to really, truly, definitively lay our lives down at the feet of Jesus and experiencing his saving, seriously saving grace fully. And we're actually going to take the next 3 weeks, through Easter, And we're going to break this down because living fully when you're sheltered in place is unfamiliar. It's confusing. And so is loving deeply when you're isolated from people. And so is giving freely when we really are on the brink of losing everything, it feels. The thing is, though, that these principles, these building blocks of our vision sound like they're more complicated, more difficult, different in this new reality, but they're not. They're still the building blocks of how we are called to live in Christ Jesus. And that was a bit of a tangent, so let's turn back to this word fully. We at Harbor get this concept of living fully straight from John chapter 3, verse 16, one of the most famous and well-known verses in all of Scripture. And it reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him would live fully and eternally. Why? Because everything from our past, all that is sinful and contrary to God, has been crucified with Jesus. It's dead, period. Because we are completely forgiven. We are perfected for all time. And therefore, we're completely reconciled to God. We're completely made new, given Christ's eternal life. We're given the Spirit of Jesus, the actual Spirit of God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We're given his Spirit. We've been made into a temple of God, participants in this eternal love that flows between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because we've been chosen by God. He loves us. He lavishes on us the same exact way he loves his Son, Jesus. And that means that our relationship with God is not defined by anything we do, but by the eternal, unshakable, loving relationship he has with his own Son. That list that I just rattled off, there are scripture references for every single piece of that. I promise there's just like 40 of them. And we're online, so I'm not going to read all of them, but find me later and I'll point you right to where the Bible says that. Do you see what I mean? All of this, all of what I just listed is true because Jesus is who he is. It didn't just used to be true, it still is. He always will be who he is. His work is already done. And does any of that list sound like it's the kind of thing that expires when we're limited in our daily coming and going? When we're living in chaos, when we're isolated, when we're hurting, when we're separated from our loved ones? No. No, the gift of being able to live fully never expires. It has no limits. It cannot be contained. It is always available to us through our faith. Thanks be to God. You do not need to fill your calendar or your refrigerator or your bank account or your to-do list in order to live fully. No, you get to live fully because Jesus lived and he died and he rose to life. And honestly, I cannot think of a better time to be preparing to celebrate this central part of our faith, what we celebrate on Easter, than right now when we're sheltered in place, when we're unable to live our lives fully in any other way, needing to rely on him and him alone right now. Which brings me to that second word, behold. Behold is a declarative word. It actually means to stand in awe and be amazed. And it's the key to this fully lived life that we get to live through Christ. The key to a fully lived life that right now, for many of us, doesn't feel all that full. Or maybe for others of us, feels way too full in all the wrong ways. To you this morning, I say, behold, stand in awe and be amazed at all of this that is true. That despite all of this pain and uncertainty, you are a temple of God himself. That despite any and all loss you're grieving right now, you've already been made completely new, perfected for all time, forgiven and rooted in righteousness and love. Despite how empty life feels, the things you've always known, you get to live fully and forever so long as you behold God in all of his glory. Remember that quote and misquote from before. If we put it all together and combine it, Saint Irenaeus was saying something like, "For the glory of God is a fully living human being, and the fully lived life of the human consists in beholding God." In his letter to the Philippians, Paul writes these words. He says, I'm not saying this. And this, by the way, is all of this information of who Jesus is and what he's done. He says to the Philippians, I am not saying all of this because I am in need. For I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Paul was no stranger to disappointment, pain, and uncertainty. He was also no stranger to productivity, success, and busyness either, at least by the standards of the first century. In so many ways, Paul is completely relatable right now because he's a guy who's experienced plenty and poverty, prosperity and pain. And here in his letter to the Philippians, he explains his secret to living fully, and it's contentment. See, he's learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. How? Because his plenty and his poverty alike. He operates through Jesus who gives him strength. Paul is in a permanent posture of beholding. That's the secret. Behold. Stand in awe and amazement. Go outside after this and look up at the sky. It's raining today, but so what? Isn't that miraculous? Let a little bit of rain hit your face and behold and marvel at the fact that God is right now watering the flowers that are a couple weeks away from bursting into colorful, beautiful life, no matter what else is happening around them. Look around at you at the people you love and behold God's goodness and grace that is evident in the fact that he invented family. Look around at this call right now, the 100 plus people who are here right now, and behold God's infinite creativity, creating and bringing together such a diverse group of people to worship him today. When you feel like you're empty, behold, you're a temple to God and are therefore never empty. You are full. So live fully. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for giving us the gift of your Holy Spirit, for filling us with you. Help us to feel filled so that we can live a life that is fully lived, completely powered by and covered by your grace and your mercy through all of what was accomplished through Jesus' life and death and resurrection. We lift up our whole lives to you, so that you in turn can fill us and make us a temple of yourself, so we can live life to the fullest, fully delighting and beholding, standing in awe and amazement of you and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. The gift of being able to live fully never expires. May we go out today remembering that, holding on to the fact that it has no limits. It is always available to us through our faith in Jesus. Amen. So a few next steps for everyone that is watching today is on the front page of our website, we have a space where you can either ask for help or volunteer to give help. So we're obviously in a season where there are a lot of people going through a lot of different circumstances, and some of us may be in a season where we are able to help more. And some people in this season need to just humbly ask for help. Whatever you are at, wherever you're at right now, we just invite you to take a next step. So go to our website, harborofhope.org. You'll see two buttons. Go ahead and check it out and either ask for help or ask how you can help. Another thing I want to tell you about is on Thursday nights, we do live prayer calls on Zoom. So you can sign up for our e-update, which is where you'll get an invitation to that Zoom. And it's a really beautiful time of just prayer and being in community. And the last thing, if you found this moment and this sermon and this space to be a blessing to you, if you would like to give and support this ministry, you can go to harborofhope.org/give. And that's a place that you can just find a way to give. And it's very simple and very straightforward. It's how I do my giving. So I invite you into that as well. So we're going to go out with just a brief prayer from Cricket. So I invite Cricket to pray for us.
Thanks, Allie. Please join with us in prayer. Father, we come before you with thankful hearts, hearts that seek what you want for us in our lives. Show us who can we can reach out to, give a smile to, encourage, or pray for this week, and to share what we have, whether we have little or much. Even if it doesn't seem like a lot, we know that with 5 small barley loaves and 2 fish, you fed 5,000 people. We ask you to multiply what we give. Help us to love like you and be content, though we may have to wrestle in prayer to get there. But you hear us, you love us, and you will direct our path. We love you and we trust you, Lord. And all God's people said, Amen.